so there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Rotating over, here's JT Miller. Kucherov spins, fire, they score. JT Miller took a dish, went top shelf quickly. Power play goal, Lightning 2, Bruins 1.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Obviously, the Bruins lose yesterday. The season's over. Lots of reasons. Terrible officiating. Inability to score 5-on-5. Being the lesser physical team. Ty Anderson writes for 98.5 thesportshub.com. He does the Bruins. Ty Anderson, disappointment. How disappointed are you today?
Well, it's pretty disappointing to lose four games in a row. I think no matter how you want to slice it, I mean, it's one of those situations where they could have played better across the board. There are other factors, like you mentioned, that sort of accelerated this decline, but at the end of the day, they just never matched Tampa Bay. It was one of those things where it seemed to get worse every game, almost. You know, game four was their closest game, but ultimately, a few bounces don't go their way, and that's all she wrote.
Let's start with Tuukka Rask, because everyone's talking about that. Everyone immediately is wants to point to Tuukka Rask. Your opinion of his play, and the people who want him out of here and are coming with pitchforks this morning.
Yeah, get a clue. You know, simple as that. I don't think you can look at this series and say, okay, this is Tuukka's fault. There's no way. Listen, he was bad in the first round. I will admit that. He was largely terrible in the first round. This second round, he was their best player. He was their best player, the most consistent player. Countless times he made, you know, saves that kept them in games. Two goals at even strength after game one, and they were both from defensemen. Their forwards went missing, completely missing. So if you're going to blame Tuukka Rask, you weren't watching the games, or you don't care enough to have a real opinion. You just want to regurgitate what everyone else says.
All right, but there is a talk about Tuukka Rask. He's got $7 million coming to him for the next 3 years. You look at some of these teams that are playoff worthy, and they have less expensive goaltending. I know no one's really in the pipe for the Bruins, but do you think Tuukka Rask is worth this $7 million?
Well, I think that, you know, his contract, it's only going to get, I know this sounds weird, it's only going to get better, because you're seeing guys getting paid massive amounts of money. You know, Carey Price makes 10.5 in Montreal, Bobrovsky's up there, Henrik Lundqvist is up there, Pekka is up there. You know, even the guy that everyone likes to say, oh, the Bruins should have kept him, Martin Jones, he goes up to 5.75 soon. You know, and you look at what those goaltenders are and where Tuukka is, it seems to line up, in my opinion. So, you know, these people, they have this idea that, okay, well, you get a goalie that makes $3 million and you spend the remaining $4 million on a defenseman. I mean, in today's NHL, a $4 million defenseman is a second pairing guy, which, you know, and that's not to say that he's a great second pairing guy. He might be just okay. You know, that's the way this sort of league is now. So I don't have any problem with $7 million a year. I think that if I got two rounds of what we saw in the first round, I would have a problem with it, but I think that ultimately he's given you, you can still win with this guy. I don't think I have greater concerns about David Krejci making 7.25.
Yeah, sure.
Than I do Rask.
Yeah. Now, more than likely today, that report comes out about who was hurt, what the injuries were, who do you think was playing hurt enough to affect their game throughout these playoffs?
You know, if I'm the Bruins, I'm hoping Krejci's on that report. I really am, because if he was healthy and played like this, that's scary to me. That's truly scary. If David Krejci was not injured in some way, shape, or form here, I think you're in some trouble. I really do. Because this is a guy who, again, $7.25 million a year. You know, he got paid for his play performances, and this year he wasn't that good. You know, and this is one of those things where you've accepted bad or mediocre regular seasons out of David Krejci because you've always had this confidence that, oh, the playoffs come around and he'll be a point per game guy. You know, he twice led the league in scoring in the playoffs, 2011, 2013. Since then, very disappointing. Whether he's been hurt or just not himself, not enough, really, in my opinion, to get it done.
Okay, so what about Brad Marchand? I know that yesterday's game was strange. The fact that him and Patrice did not have a shot on goal in the first two periods. And, you know, the whole licking situation, which I know, you know, pissed off the second time around a lot of people. What was your opinion, A, of the licking, and then B, about what happened to him here in this round?
Well, I love the whole hand-wringing of the national columnist saying, this is embarrassing, this is a disgrace.
Yeah.
All right, well, how do you feel about CTE, and how do you feel about guys?
Well, that's what I was saying. Yep. It's like, in a league where, especially in the playoffs, you can hit a guy's head with your stick in a scrum, in a league that were, and it was perfectly illegal, where David Backus can get knocked cold and be dead on his feet, that you're concerned about a guy licking another guy, and that you create a rule around it. Yeah, I thought that that was a little bit much.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's stupid, it's goofy, it's absurd, it's whatever you want to call it, but these people acting like it's the end of the world or that he's out there hurting people. It's relax. He's licking someone's cheek. If anything, he's the one that's like truly suffering. When you think about how sweaty a dude's face is, you're like, I don't think I'd want to do this if I were him.
And
but
Callahan, he got like up in his nose.
Oh, that was gross. It was a close up picture. It's disgusting. You're like, look, I feel bad for Marshan more than I do Callahan in that regard. So, you know, it's one of those things though where if he is licking guys, you'd like to see the production kind of go with it. And he was productive, but coming back to that game 7, I mean, that was not the Marchand that we've seen this season. You know, that for whatever reason, deferring, trying to find his line mates a little bit more. I'd like to see him shoot in the puck a little bit more than you saw in game 5 yesterday, and I'm sure if he could do it over again, he would as well.
Do things have to change for the Bruins, or is it just a bad matchup? I mean, obviously Tampa has speed, they have depth, they have great goaltending. Let's just talk about up front. Bruins looked much slower than this team. Against Toronto, you can understand that. They have that blinding speed. But you thought they could stay with Tampa, and it was clear after the top line they could not. Do changes have to be made, or do they have enough young forwards coming in to make themselves younger and faster next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be faster next year. I think there's no doubt. You sort of look at what they were missing this year. Anders Bjork was not playing. He's probably their fastest forward, in my opinion, when you watch him play and he gets some open ice there. So that's the guy that'll be back next year. I looked through at their schedule, 33 games in 67 days, basically to close out the year. You're going to slow down a little bit. And not to say they're not going to have another heavy schedule next year, but I think these young players, Heinen, DeBrusque, these are guys that before this year only played on weekends, basically, in the AHL. You know, a full year of the NHL grind will definitely help them. And I think that Cassie, he's smart enough to know that he has to infuse some youth here. He can't be all veterans. He can't be all Brian Gionta and, you know, Nola Chari. Not that he's a veteran, but he's a slower guy, you know, you'd say. So he knows what they have to do, I think, moving forward. And you're talking about next year, Trent Frederick's probably stepping in. You got more of these prospects, of course, Bakker Carlson probably. There's a lot of pieces that are coming in, and they are equipped for today's NHL. So I think they'll be better off for this in the long run. But we've seen this before, right? You need to sort of have that mix of young and old to compete in today's NHL.
Okay, so Rick Nash, what did they want out of him? And what did he give them?
They wanted more, and they got less, basically.
There it is.
Yeah.
But specifically, because you're talking about a team getting faster, and you play Toronto, who's just, you know, crazy fast. And then Tampa's obviously a faster team. What did they want Rick Nash to do? And why did he not perform that way, in your opinion?
Well, I think they wanted him, obviously, to score some more goals and be a bigger factor in front of the net there, especially on that power play, and they just didn't get it. And it hit the point where by game 4, I was saying, all right, he's off power play 1, put Donato out there, because you look at the way they click with Donato in that same spot, and it was night and day, really, in a lot of ways. So he just wasn't, I don't think, ready for the challenge. And it's one of those things now where you're wondering if it's 90% mental you know, and 10% physical, where, you know, I talked to him during the first round, and I said, you know, the puck's not going to the net for you. And he goes, oh, you know, it never does this time of year. I just got to keep working hard. I'm like, that's not good. You can't have that mindset right away.
Right,
why are you telling me this? Yeah. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, like
you?
The whole idea was you didn't have to be like one of the big guys, one of the main guys. Like this was supposed to be good for you. You were supposed to be able to go out there and without a ton of pressure on you, and you end up doing nothing.
Yeah, it's when you lose your spot to Tommy Wingles, you know, in game 6, I'm like, oh, this is not good. This is not what they thought they were getting. And I mean, listen, that's, you know, some guys will have this. It's one of those things that plagued Marchand, I think, for 3 years, really, before he got his game back. But it's a real thing with Rick Nash that, you know, the demons were there. People thought, well, good luck with this guy. And I tried to say, no, it won't be like that. And sure enough, there it was.
All right. Well, there is a decent amount of unrestricted free agents that the Bruins will have to make some decisions on. Some of the more interesting ones, Riley Nash is going to be an unrestricted free agent. What do you do with him?
He's gone.
I think he's gone.
I think he's gone.
I think he priced himself out. He had a quiet postseason, but on the surface, I think teams look at what he did in the regular season and what his role is. I think he's going to get overpaid in a market that's always sort of thin on defensively responsible players.
Anton Hudobin.
I bring him back. 2 years. You know, you don't have anyone ready. I'm not a McIntyre guy. I know some people are. I've never quite seen it with Zane McIntyre.
What's he going to get?
See, I think that he's not really due for a massive raise. You know, he's 1.2, I think, now per year.
Yeah.
If you do 1.5, 1.75, you can stomach that. And I think that that's something that he would do. He likes it here. Yeah, I think he's explored, you know, other markets before, and sure enough, he came back. You know, I think it's one of those things where he likes the situation here. And I think that he would be willing to come back on a 2-year deal. You too, that buys you some time. You know, they have a guy in Providence, Daniel Vladar, who is not quite ready yet. You want to see a full season of him having the starting job in Providence before he's here. So I think that's a 1 or 2 year deal. Maybe you go a little bit more expensive if it's one, but I think ultimately 2 would work for both sides.
What about Tim Schaller?
I think that he's gone too. I think it's one of those things where this is a guy who is a fourth line grinder. He's worked his way to get to this point in his career. He had career high in goals, assists, points, everything across the board. Left winger who can kill penalties, play some center for you. As far as I know, they haven't talked contract extension with him at all during the regular season. So I think that he hits open market, and I think a team is going to probably pay him, you know, 9 figures, which is the Bruins. I don't think they'd like to do that.
All right. We will be back with Ty Anderson. Your calls, 617-779-0985. Here's a CBS Sports Minute with Boomer, brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank.
We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't gonna learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go.
We were in all those games, but, you know, we came short in a couple of them, and a couple you saw. There were some momentums that, you know, we didn't agree with, but that's just that's the way it is, and we had to move on.
98.5, the Sports Hub, the 8th Annual Hoosier Caddy Classic is happening Monday, July 16th at 1 p.m. at the Atkinson Resort and Country Club just across the border in Atkinson, New Hampshire. Start reserving your spot this morning at 9 on 98.5thesportshub.com. It's $150 per player, all to benefit the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Boston Children's Hospital. Join Tony Maz, Rich Shirtlieb Hardy, and the rest of the Sports Hub crew for a day of golf at the Hoosier Daddy Classic. Go to 985thesportshub.com for all the details. Ty Anderson from 985thesportshub.com covers the Bruins.
You know what today is, unfortunately? It's the day that guy right there you just heard speaking hops in the car, heads up to Salem, New Hampshire, and rides the Red Rooster of Doom.
The Red Rooster, it goes round and round.
Zdeno Chara. So famously photographed after the 2013 loss to the Blackhawks, crammed into the Flying Red Rooster with his knees and his chin.
Opening day was Saturday at KB Lake. This past Saturday.
You know what?
Can it be late?
That's right.
Go, Chara go round and round. Like meaningless of life, circle after circle.
Right on the screen. Right. There it is. It is one of the all-time greatest photos. It's just stuff a giant in like this kid's
this is
ride.
Very safe. What could possibly go wrong?
You know, last year was even more depressing because the season was over before Canopy Lake even opened. So like I could just see him standing at the gate with his hand just crying. I shall not reconnect with the Red Rooster. Must wait here. He just waited there for a week.
Because there's no way if he has kids, I don't know, if there's no way that they can fit in there with him.
Right, so like where's the child?
That's a solo rooster
yeah,
ride.
Yeah, that's a solo ride.
Right. Who even knows if he went with kids? Maybe just that's how he punishes himself. Right. That's like, you know, the Opus Dei guys who whip themselves in the back. That's Chara after he loses in the Stanley Cup final. He shows up and does the Red Rooster ride and just does it for hours.
The Red Rooster, very slow circle.
He goes in like the terrible bumper cars. They're like, don't move. He's like stuck in the corner. He's like, I deserve this.
Just hit me over and over again. I will take the pain.
That's how he gets tough. That's how he toughens up.
I can't even pop balloon with the dart. Look at these clowns taunting me. I can't hit either one of these baseballs. This is rigged. The bottles are not falling. Don't tempt me after a tough loss.
Look at that. His knees are like in his chin. And he's just staring ahead into nothingness.
I win. I want Def Leppard Coke mirror.
Yes, inflatable baseball bat so I can keep hitting myself in the face in punishment.
There's so many juggalo. I don't feel safe.
All right. How much, Ty, did you blame on? Okay, because I think this could have gone seven. And I mean, if you look at the end of the game yesterday and the very end of the game yesterday and the opportunities that they had, and then you look, obviously, at game four, which they got completely hosed.
By the refs.
By the refs. How much, what do you put the blame on in kind of order in terms of what happened to them and how, if everything was going, the things that were out of their control went better, how many games does this go?
I think six or seven. I mean, you have to say it, right? I think that we look back at, you know, we hate to whine about officiating. I understand that. But you look at, you had critical non-calls at key points in two games.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's no way around saying it, whether it's the Marchand slash, you know, from Anton Strahlman in game two, which should have been a penalty shot or a power play at the very least. And then game four, that could have been on Kucherov here. That could have been a hook, a hold, a tripping. It could have been, you know, four things, really, and it was nothing.
The one that led to the Stamkos goal.
Yeah, instead it's a Stamkos goal, and you think about what could have changed. I mean, if that is called, not only is it not a goal, but you're going to the power play with 7 minutes left in the game, and your power play clicked at, like, 30-something percent in this series.
Yeah,
you know, that,
yeah.
You can't ignore that. So I think that, you know, that this series should have gone six or seven with all that considered.
And
so,
if it goes seven, as you know, if you've watched any hockey, weird things can happen. There can be weird bounces off the boards. There can be, you know, an inopportune penalty. You saw that with the trip at the end of the game. McDonough, when he tripped, I forgot who he tripped, at the end of the game. Things can happen, and that's what's frustrating, is that the officiating, everyone agrees, across the board in this playoffs has been atrocious. And I don't understand kind of how. I don't understand if you're on a breakaway. Like, if something happens behind the play, I can sort of understand it. But if someone's on a breakaway, you're obviously watching what's going on.
Or how about, let's just talk about the being kicked out of the faceoffs with Patrice Bergeron, how that was ridiculous for the first round and a half, and it wasn't until people started bitching and the media got a hold of it and Patrice Bergeron made a statement that all of a sudden, miraculously, he's not getting tossed out of faceoffs.
Isn't that so weird? That's such a weird coincidence, right?
Yeah, right.
You say something finally, and then it stops, which is why I thought that, like, you don't win by doing this, but I hit the point where I asked the powers that be. I said, is there any chance that Neely or Sweeney are going to say something, you know, about what's happening to them right now? Because this is weird. Like, this has hit the point where this is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about the first four games, 16 power plays for Tampa and 9 for Boston. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is bizarre. Like, this shouldn't be happening right now. And so, you know, I think that I was waiting for someone to say something, because we've seen this league is weird like that. Things will stop happening if you bring attention to it.
Okay.
If you shine a light on it.
It is strange. And you know what? That happens sometimes in the NBA, too. Like, enough bitching, and you know, you get the calls coming your way. But the one thing that I thought was interesting is that going into this offseason, if you're going to compete with a team as good as Tampa Bay, you just saw basically one functioning line with the Bruins and then three that weren't. On top of that, with Chara getting older, you're probably going to have to find some sort of guy to fill in the hole. What's your number one priority in the offseason? If you're the Boston Bruins and you're Don Sweeney, what's number one on your list?
You need to get a left side defenseman,
right,
to help Chara out.
Yep.
I think that's the biggest thing. You sort of look at what you have here. The NHL is weird. We all know this, where you have a few years to really maximize a window when you have young players on entry-level deals and veterans that are in their prime or still, you know, close to it. And I think they're in that right now. They have prospects and young kids like crazy. You have the pieces to swing a deal. I think you have some redundancies on your roster, whether it's Adam McQuaid and Kevin Miller. I would not want to trade Kevin Miller. I think he's been getting better every season.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. But that's one of those things where you look at the roster and you say, okay, you really need a guy behind Chara at this point. You can't have this guy. Listen, he takes amazing care of himself. We would all agree. But I don't know if it's the rooster rides or whatever it is, but he's in great shape for a 41-year-old.
Mm-hmm. That's punishment.
It's one of those things, though, where you can't have this guy playing 82 games a season and then playing half an hour a game in the playoffs. You just can't. It's not sustainable, I think, as he gets older. And he was great in these playoffs. Don't get me wrong. He held Matthews and Stamkos to like two goals, I think, and combined, you know, in what was it, 12 games. You know,
yeah.
It's one of those things where he's playing well. It's just a matter of, you got to manage this guy a little bit better. He's not going to take time off. So how do you do it? All right. You bring another guy who can eat some hard minutes. And You know, McDonough could have been that guy for them, but they weren't going to trade Jake DeBrus to get him.
No.
And I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with that. And you look back what you missed this year. Carlo's back next year, but he's a playoff rookie. If he's healthy, that next year will be his first playoff run. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where, is he the answer? I really don't know.
So what's out there?
Whole lot of nothing. You know, listen, defensemen, basically what the Bruins want is they want a defenseman who can come in, play strong defense, help their breakout, and contribute offensively. So you want a Norris-caliber defenseman. Great. Good luck finding that, especially a left shot. It's not easy.
What about the kid that was along with DeBrusk and McAvoy that they took in that draft?
Jacob Zboril?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he could be there. I'm not holding my breath on him coming in and being like McAvoy, though, to be honest with you. I don't think he's that caliber. And he's a guy that, you know, watching him in the preseason last year, I thought he could use a little bit more. I know he came on late in Providence. The reports down there are saying he was playing better. They have another kid down there, Jeremy Lazan. He battled some concussion problems this year. But again, sort of seemed to come into form towards the end of the season. Like, these guys are there. I don't know if they have that high-end potential, though, where they can step in and immediately ease the burden of Zdeno Chara.
All right, we're taking your calls, by the way. 617-779-0985 for Ty Anderson, kind of doing a postmortem and trying to figure out what they need to be doing here in the offseason. This sucks. You know, it's funny. I came in this morning, and I'm bummed that it was five games. I'm not as bummed that they lost to Tampa Bay. Like, they were a better team, and they outplayed them in almost every different facet. Although, Fred had a great point. Who do you think played better in this series, Vasilevsky or Tuca?
Tuca.
I agree.
I think it's Tuca. Vasilevsky
was really good, man.
He saved his best saves for the final 5 minutes of yesterday's game.
Yeah, he looked great.
I was like, oh, this guy's playing. Neat.
There were a couple games that would have gone completely out of hand that were opportunities where the Bruins couldn't get out of their zone, and Rask made it possible for at least it to be a game.
Yeah, it's true. I think the Stamkos breakaway in game four, I mean, that could have been the moment where it all slipped away. And he stepped up, made a huge save. I think that was his biggest save of the playoffs. I really do. And you know, it's all for naught, really, at the end of the day, which sucks. You know, if you're the Bruins, you gotta reward the goaltender at some point, I think. In this series, there was a lot of, you know, Tuca kind of standing on his head, I felt like, and the Bruins aren't rewarding him. And to your point, though, Rich, it's so much easier to stomach losing to Tampa Bay than it is Toronto.
Sure.
I can't stand Toronto. It's like one of those teams that, like, I'm like, I try to be an unbiased person, but like, Babcock is the worst. He's
just, why do you hate Babcock?
He's like, okay, boys, let's go in here.
Most Canadian sounding person on the planet.
That's the thing. And then you have like their media, like the worst people in the world.
Wearing those stupid scarves out of the plaza.
Their media, they got like eight beat writers covering that team.
No, I think it was 11, actually.
11.
Yeah. Yeah. It was 11 guys. Yeah.
It's the only place where you have a guy, like Steve Simmons is their guy up there, right? And after Matthew scores one goal in game three, he's like, that was a tour de force performance. And then game seven, he goes, you're right to call him after game seven, he goes, Austin Matthews went missing. I'm like, you are a moron, man. There's no way around that. You cannot have it both ways. It happened less than a week ago. You're telling me he's the greatest, and now he sucks. That's how it is up there, though. And
outside of Dave Mischkin, there's not a lot to hate about Tampa Bay. Like, I like most of those players. I mean, Stamkos is one of my favorites. But, I mean, on top of that, there wasn't, like, a ton of real hatred, you know, from one side to the next. I will not listen to Mischkin's calls this morning. I will not do it.
No.
That guy's so over the top, I can't stand him. And that's the only thing I think about Tampa Bay that I really, other than their uniform policy or their clothing policy, the arena's pretty dumb.
There's that, the handout noisemakers. It's like, just clap your hands, guys. It's not a hard thing. Everyone else does it. They got these little, it looks like that little ball on the string that they're like passing out. Like, clap this. Use your hands. What's the difference?
Yeah. Well, it's quite a collectible. All right, we'll be back, 617-779-0985. Here are the headlines.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
They were better than we were in a lot of areas. One of them being their puck battles and their pursuit showed up in the end.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and Ty Anderson is here in studio as we tie a bow on the Bruins season. We have been through so much, but a lot of people have this opinion. 617-779-0985. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, listen, I wanted to talk about the Bruins a little bit if you had time. I think the team as a whole played their hearts out. But Tuukka Rask, I think, is a bum. I mean, how can you, out of all those games that they were playing, he was spotting them like two goals a game. Tampa Bay, two goals a game, you know? And for the players to go in there and actually have to play catch up behind that, I think took a lot out of them.
Ty, you want this one?
Yeah, sure. Did Tuukka Rask field a pop fly like a grounder, like Matt Grizzlick did in Game 3?
I think Cassidy should have benched him after that debacle that he had in the last game.
Who, Grizzlick or Tuukka?
I think Tuukka Rask should have sat on the bench this last game.
Why?
If you ask me.
Yeah, but why?
Because his play and his performance is like subpar. He couldn't stop a soccer ball.
No, you know? He did. I think that he was fine in this series. I think that if you want to look at goalies who've had that play, you look at Martin Jones, you look at Pekka Rinne. I mean, these guys have been a disaster in the second round. Tuukka was probably the second best goalie in this second round, in my opinion, behind Fleury.
He was the best player on the Bruins during that series. Again, you see goals go in, and first of all, getting down by two, of course, is not good. But however, if you're a goalie and you're put in a position where you're hung out to dry, you're going to allow goals. And so every time a goal is scored, it's funny, because every time a goal is scored, everyone's brain erases all the great saves that Rask has made to keep the team in it. Like yesterday in the first period, I mean, the Bruins could not have played worse, and Tuukka Rask saved their asses a bunch of times.
Yeah, so, I mean, no doubt. I think these people, I mean, they gotta stop psychoanalyzing every Tuukka Rask goal. Like, it's such a weird thing that I see. Like, when, you know, there are people that he made that save on Stamkos, and they're like, well, you know, it's not that great of a save. He just shot right into his glove. Like, what are we doing here? Why are we never going to give this guy any credit at all and just regurgitate what people say? It's just no one thinks for themselves with this player. It's just we've hit the point of it's just absurd. No matter what he does, barring him going 16-0 with 16 shutouts in the playoffs, people aren't going to buy in.
You make a very good point. I mean, Vasilevsky's a Vezina Trophy finalist, and you were just telling us that Rask played better than him in this series, and Rinne is also a Vezina Trophy finalist, and you're right. I mean, he's getting scored on at will in the series against Nashville. I mean, against Winnipeg.
Yep.
I mean, it is remarkable. And by the way, Nashville scoring goals on Hellebuck, who's the other Vezina Trophy finalist, and Rask arguably is playing as good as all three of them, or yeah, did play as well as all three of them.
Brian, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, boys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, before my Bruins comment, Rich, last night on AAF at 2 a.m., they played crossfade.
No way.
There's no way a crossfade song was played in the city.
David Crossfade was played in the city last night, cold.
Oh,
that
yeah,
must have been just like renegade freeform radio right there. Someone over there just must have said,
I need an injection of butt rock, and I need it now.
Let me get one of the most obscure butt rock bands of that era.
Crossfade. Wow. Excellent. Right. Okay. Maybe they played Trust Company and Trapped after that.
Well, Trapped had the super great hit.
I'll back you off, headstrong. I'm taking on anyone. That's what you play before the big high school wrestling match.
Or you play it at every sporting event.
Yeah, it is a sporting event song. It's not a good one.
No, not good.
No,
not
it's
good.
It's actually not even that hard.
Scoop.
Colin, go ahead.
Colin. A good call screener today.
Hey, that's you.
I just like to do that to your friend. To your friend, I can't say anything.
That's you. That's what they call punching down. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Ty, I love you, man. You've been I've been following you since Hockey Buzz. So I had a question about McDonough. So I think you can fill in the blanks with the forwards, because I mean, you're going to have JFK. Donato's going to be a year stronger. I don't think that their need necessarily is scoring, even though they were snake bit by scoring. I think you have to get a defenseman if you want to utilize the next couple of years. And looking at the free agents, unless you trade someone, I think McDonough is the only guy out there really that you can actually go for and throw some money at and have someone like him be able to come out, you know, and move the puck like McAvoy can, because I think without a defenseman, you're screwed the next couple of years. You can't make it any further than you did this year.
I don't know how you're going to free up that kind of money.
Well, that's, I mean, well, McDonough has one more year, too, after this season.
Oh, he does?
He has one more year, but again, you could play the waiting game with Chara, right? Where,
sure.
Where he's a free agent for next year, and you say, okay, well, you know, now you're 42. Can you take a little bit less money here, and you go from there? And so I think you could do that. And then if you look sort of, you know, the big guy is Carlson. John Carlson's a free agent this year. He's a Massachusetts native. He's going to make way too much money for them.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of those things where he could be a fit theoretically, but you'd have to free up some money elsewhere. And even then, it may not be enough.
All right, let me ask you about the lines that Cassidy put together in the last couple games. He's made some interesting choices since game three. What did you think of what he's been rolling out the last several games?
Oh, I hated the Brian Gionta call. I hated it like poison. It was one of the worst calls that he's made. I think, you know, you look at that series and that game specifically. They were down by one game. You needed a single win. You didn't need to reinvent the wheel. You needed to get Donato in there. Donato was the guy you would put in there. You put him on the second line, and you go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they put Donato on a third line that got utilized like a fourth line with Corrali and Gionta. And that was not a way to maximize Ryan Donato's skill set, in my opinion. And then you look at what's on the ice in overtime, right? It begins with 3 minutes in overtime.
Yeah.
Brian Gionta's on the ice.
Yeah.
I can't for life me figure out why. I know they want to roll four lines, but you're in overtime of a game that makes difference between being tied 2-2 and down 3-1. And this guy, who hasn't played in almost a month, is out there 3 minutes into the game, or 3 minutes in overtime? No thanks.
And if you're playing with urgency, you could do what they did yesterday afternoon and double up the first line. I mean, Bergeron, Pastrnak, and Marchand were out. What percentage of the last 10 minutes of that game do you think they were out there?
It had to have been close to 65,
yeah.
if not
so,
more.
So, I mean, yeah. If you're playing with urgency and you're playing in overtime, I don't know if you have to roll those lines out. All right. We will be back one more break with Mr. Ty Anderson, and then we will move on to other things, including Nick Fisticuffs in Dallas.
You got a fight?
Yep.
Wow. They go into a bachelor party and get a fight?
Yep.
Okay.
Interesting. Or he didn't get in a fight. He just let people screw with him. Yeah. He should have gotten in a fight.
What?
Okay. I didn't want him to tell me too much, but I assumed, based on what people were doing to him, that he would have gotten in a fight. But apparently, it's even worse. He didn't.
I haven't heard this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
should I be nervous that we've got street audio coming up and I haven't heard it?
No. There's no street audio.
There's none.
It's just the sweet, sexy Nick voice that he has still from his Dallas.
Okay. So this is just you telling the story?
Yes, he has a story to tell.
He has got a Kathleen Turner voice going on today.
Yeah.
Smoky as it gets.
And he's going to have it all compartmentalized, and he's going to okay. be able to tell the story great. All right. We'll be right back.
It's T&R.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Kutcher and Rich coming up at 8 o'clock. Audio of very disappointed Sixers fans. Maybe jumping the gun. Ty Anderson's got a few more minutes with us. William, go ahead. William. Fantastic. Let's go to Phil. Go ahead.
Fred.
What up?
Steak and eggs.
Hey, hey.
All right. There's one person you have to get rid of to ensure success for the Bruins.
Can I guess it?
Fred, you know who it is?
Who they have
Dale
to?
Arnold.
That's right.
Dale Arnold.
Some people.
Let's do an experiment. Put him on the Celtics broadcast.
No.
Before the game tonight.
No.
I guarantee you they lose.
No.
Guy's an albatross. When are the Bruins brass gonna realize the Dale Arnold curse is real? It's unbelievable.
I have to tell me. Maybe the box that he stands on at the games is cursed.
This is just more evidence for the case. I don't know why everybody says, it doesn't exist. Yes, it does.
There are some things that are beyond our control, and I mean, you cannot dismiss them. I mean, there are some things that are beyond our control. People are saying it's a George Surratt curse. But because Judd Surratt,
Judd
I'm sorry.
Judd Surratt, yes.
They're saying that. Pat, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
I just had a question for Ty about Torrey Krug. I was wondering if you thought there was any chance he may not be back next year. It seems like Grizzly does a lot of the same things for a cheaper price, and I don't know about you guys, but I couldn't stand watching Krug play defense in the playoffs.
Well, I think with Krug, it's one of those things where Grizzly is similar in stature, and they're both left-handed defensemen, but I think Krug is a much better puck mover. I think he has better offensive instincts, especially in that power play there. This is a guy who had 60 points this year. You know, I'm not looking to trade a 60-point defenseman right now if I'm the Bruins. I think that you look at where the league is trending, you need these quicker guys, these transitional sort of pieces, I guess, if you will. And I think Krug is one of those guys where he's never going to be your number one defenseman, and that's okay. I think that what he does in the power play is really, really valuable to this team, and I can't picture them really being able to lose that without losing what makes them so successful.
Who's answering phones?
Bird.
Okay. All right. There's not a lot of information.
Oh.
Let's do some Sixer calls. I'll do some Sixer calls. Why not?
That's cool.
All right. Andrew, go ahead.
Say next, boys.
Hey, hey.
So, I'm not a Tuukka guy, but Tuukka played his ass off for the Bruins this round. I mean, every single one of those games would have been 7-2 if it wasn't for Tuukka making saves. I think the problem is with Grizzlick and with Miller. They just, every single time it seemed like Tampa took the rush on the turnovers, it was always Miller who couldn't get it over couldn't clear it, or Grizzlick who was turning it over, and DeBrusk going ghost after that empty netter in game one just really kind of hurt them.
Yeah, DeBrusk I was infatuated with, and he did fall off as that series went on.
Yeah, you wonder about the upper body injury he was dealing with, you know, and how it really affected him. He seemed like he's the guy who we talked about this before, where he would get hit, he'd get right back up, and really seemed to enjoy it. And by the end of the series, I wasn't getting that vibe. I was getting the vibe that when he got hurt, it really, really hurt. So he's a guy that, going back to what we were talking about earlier, I think you're going to hear something about him being significantly banged up, I guess.
Yeah, and you got to figure Bergeron was hurt despite his 5 goals. They just said the whole time that he was hurt, so we'll see what's going on with that. And I think Backus might have had a concussion. I'm going to go.
It's possible.
I'm going to think that maybe.
Yeah.
When you're on the ice, did you see when they picked him up?
And he couldn't see it. He couldn't see straight.
He had that thing where you get hit so hard that you get up and you look like a different person.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't look like David Backus right now. He looks like he's just a blank canvas of a human. Didn't look like David Backus at all. And that's scary. You know, I think it's that 3 or 4 concussions now in 4 years. It's not getting any younger. You know, you talk about Savard, you talk about guys like that. This could be a dangerous situation here moving forward. For
3 years left on his contract.
Yep. And he is going to be 75 when it's over. You know, an interesting fact? You know how Cassidy said that Marchand was obsessed with Bergeron?
Yeah.
Marchand moving next door to Bergeron, I'm being told.
Hmm.
Over there in Newton.
Your people? Your people are telling you?
I was at a first communion the other day on Saturday, and that was the news. Is that Bergeron lived around where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And
so Marchand's moving into your neighborhood.
It's not my neighborhood.
Oh,
they're not lick your face.
Yeah, they're not. Exactly. Well, I pay for that. But no, they're not moving to my neighborhood. My neighborhood is, they can't afford it.
Right.
But no, they're moving into West Newton.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't find it odd that Marchand's moving into the same neighborhood?
I don't find it odd at all, actually. That makes complete sense to me.
One of the Penguins guys used to do this, too.
Yeah.
But when they did that 24/7 with the Penguins, they talked about all guys living in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Backus lives...
he doesn't live in a good area. He lives in a good... All of Newton is apparently a good area, but he lives on a main street, and you were perplexed by this.
Yeah. He lives around... there's an elementary school around there. He went to the Little League parade. Don't worry about it.
Mm.
Ty Anderson, now you have to shift focus to other sports, but you can read all his stuff at 98.5thesportshub.com. Thank you for your participation. There'll be no commercials here, just the headlines. And when we come back, Sixers fans, very upset. Audio.